money is, do you know the signs of the times? Do you know the signs of the times that we live in? It's very important that you and I understand the signs of the time. I'm going to hit it a little different angle this morning. What it is, it's important for the, so in this day and age, I mean, how many of you believe we're living in the last days? I mean, just see what's going on. We don't know if it's Jesus comes tonight or even if it was 50 years. I don't know what day that is. So in talking about the Lord saying, hey, be aware of the signs of the time. Matter of fact, being understanding the signs of the times is what keeps an individual from coming or walking into deception. Did you know that? In deception, because we know in the last days, who's the deceiver? Who's the liar? The father of all lies is Satan. His goal, if you don't know him, his desire, number one desire is to keep you in blindness and away from Christ Jesus, to keep you away from your maker. Amen? We're made in his image. And so, and then if you know him, his goal is to have you or to keep you unfruitful. That you have no impact on your family, on your children, on your mates, your friends, your co-workers. If he can keep you from having no impact, you may go to heaven. You may have your fire insurance. And if you can't, if Satan, he's not going to stop. He say, well, if they know me as their personal savior, what I will do to the great to his number one goal is to keep you unfruitful. And what I love about the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless where each individual is today in their lives and the different roads that people take, we all come from a different road, amen? Amen. But regardless of that, what's wonderful is the Lord Jesus desires to make you fruitful. Isn't that wonderful news? Through his goodness and through his grace. I just wanted to mention we're tomorrow meeting with a teacher at the high school. We are hoping to start a prayer group at the Chino Valley High School here very soon. Isn't that awesome? The power of prayer, amen. Praying right on campus for the teachers, for the principal, and all the students, amen. Bathing that place in prayer right there. On campus and praying for God to bring the right students together. I'm going to find out today if we have the teacher that'll be a part of this club. That we need a teacher and a main student to have a Christian club on or at the campus of Chino Valley High School. So I'm hoping when I meet with this particular teacher tomorrow about this prayer group that she will be that teacher. Amen. Wouldn't that be lovely? If she's willing to share her classroom for a time of prayer, so I can't wait to visit with her. I can't wait to talk to her about what we anticipate God to do in this generation. Amen? Man, the fields are ripe for harvest. That's part of the signs of the end times. The fields are ripe for harvest. But then Jesus says, but where are my laborers? Where are the laborers? But the thing is, a labor for you, it's different. It's different for everybody. And you just ask the Lord God to show you where you can be a laborer, to participate. For some people, it's prayer, right? Prayer is powerful. Others are part of those telling others or the different aspects for being a laborer in the field. But there's a place for everybody regardless. Amen? So I'm excited. So I hope by next Sunday I have some better news, or what they say, more better news. So be praying, be praying about this, and I'll keep you apprised of what's going on there. You know, I wanted to say the proof of the gospel is a radically changed life. Did you know that? The proof of the gospel, his desire to radically change his life. See, the enemy could convince people, no. He'll point you to what's going on in your life, your struggles, your failures, to get you focused on that. Remember, he is the father of lies. But I'm telling you, the gospel radically changes lives. Sometimes big growth at one time. Sometimes maybe you're like me, little bitty grains of sand over many years. And then finally you can see it. It's evident, right? It's evident. you know, a grand of sand or a little bit of dirt every day, just a little bit over years, over decades, man, that can make a quite a hill. It really can. So we like to say, don't despise those small beginnings. The proof of the gospel radically changes life. It changes the way you think, the way you act, your perspective of the future. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. Isn't that amazing? That is good news. And I know many of you are already walking in that or started your walk. Man, the things that he has for us, we can't even imagine. That's the wonderful thing about putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Those steps can be scary. Those steps can be scary. But I'm telling you, when we take those steps in faith, we look back months and years later and we say, wow, look what the Lord has done. You know, this changes in spite of all that you face while on the earth. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 9. I don't have it up there. I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen containers. You are an earthen container, by the way. So that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. This is Paul saying this. He's talking about his ministry. And maybe you've experienced that. And I'm going to put this in the light of what's going on in Israel today. You and I, having that thread we'll talk about through faith, being children of Abraham, that thread we have as Israel is much greater than you realize. It really is. See, some of these scriptures that we're reading that Paul got from the Old Testament, that he's now saying this is for you and I, were actually for Israel. But now that we're joint heirs with Christ, children of Abraham, the promises of God being yes and amen, those promises were not given to me first. They were given to Israel. And me being a wild olive branch being grafted in, now partaker of those promises. Isn't that amazing? Oh, that's good news. That gets me excited. When I think about those things, regardless of what's going on from day to day, that gets me excited. Hallelujah. Extraordinary greatness of the power that will be of God from for ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Hallelujah. Perplexed, but not despairing. Have you ever been perplexed? But you keep trusting God. Keep walking with him. He will give the answers. He will make things known that perplex you in your walk, the struggles. Perplexed. It says we're crushed, but we're not despairing. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And that's what Israel began to taste when Hamas came against them. They started it. I'm telling you, I just want to say this, that make sure you have the right narrative on the nation of Israel. There is more lying voices out there than there is truthful voices. And I tell you, if you buy into these lying narratives, it will affect your walk with Jesus. If you're a child of Abraham by faith, and you start hearing things that are lies, believe me, it'll get in right into your walk with Christ. Because then it comes down, but can I really believe the Old Testament? Because everything that we hear, I guarantee you, is the opposite of the truth of the Word of God. And it is only the truth that sets you free. The truth of the Word of God. This scripture too, you know, things that we prophesy, this was in Jeremiah, and then in the book of Matthew 2, 17 and 18, then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Jeremiah, that was in Jeremiah, and this was talking about when Herod, amen, killed all the children in Bethlehem of the age of 2 years and younger. And see, now what we've seen the last couple weeks of Israel children, babies being murdered. I'm just saying being beheaded, murdered. Can you imagine? And then you have this nerve on the other side. Well, you've, you know, Israel, you know, you kind of, you can't really do anything. step back. No, the narrative is always this, that Israel has done something wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. Man, Israel has belonged to the Israeli people for about the last 3,500 years. Remember when the children of Israel went into the promised land? That's when there was a group of five kings that God gave them that they defeated, and Jerusalem came into the hands of Israel. And then it was conquered again by King David. And after that time, it was called the City of David. Amen? The voice of the children crying, that seeing that over and over again. And we talked about how one day that's going to end. Have you read in Ezekiel 37 and 38? There's coming a time where the enemies of Israel will be destroyed. Amen? Amen and amen. You know, I was watching it. If you think you have it bad, I was watching about a Jewish Holocaust survivor. Her name is Rachel Gottstein, I think her name is. 6 years old. Went into concentration camps, separated from her parents and her grandparents, who were murdered, and she never saw again. She was in these concentration camps from one to the next one with two aunts and three cousins, and they didn't separate them unless when they would take one at a time, and they were killed just for being Jewish. And this young girl, who was only six at the time, Rachel would say all she could remember is this certain prayer that her parents had taught her. And she would just pray it over and over and over and over and over again. Never gave up faith in those situations. And how God delivered. When they found her, there was down to where she was maybe getting one little piece of bread a day. It started out for three pieces of bread a day. Then it went down to two pieces of bread a day. Down to one piece of bread. And when they finally, the British, where she was at, the British found her. And what they saw when they walked in that barrack was so devastating that they couldn't even go inside. They were throwing candy and food to them. As what they saw was horrific, they're saying, man, we can't even go inside there. We don't know what diseases. We don't know what's going on. And then she gives her story of how she came back to life, how she came back to health. Amen. How God had preserved her to tell the story, how her simply having a faith in the God of Israel, just put it, the God of Israel, that there was a group of people that was willing to treat her worse than any animal. See, let me just say this. That is Satan. And that all has to do with the seed of Christ. And then she goes on to say that after that are all these orphan children. These are things I didn't know. All these orphan children after World War II. And they were all, many of them, transported to Israel. It now was a new nation. And given to families to be raised because their parents and their grandparents were no longer alive. See, that's part of the beginning of Israel. When God restored them by prophecy, I will call you from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. You will have your land forever. And it's just like that as you and I. And for my family, the word of God for me is, Lord, I call them forth from the north and the south and the east and the west. They will serve you, Lord Jesus. They will give their lives back to you. I don't care what I see. I know that you've brought me through many difficult waters and you will bring me through many more difficult waters. But I call them forth. They shall serve you. Because the promises of God are yes and amen. And I am a child of Abraham. I've been adopted. And I told you because I was really adopted. I had an adoption paper. And the wonderful thing I love to say that the little story on this is I go way off where we were going, but it's still good. This adoption is my sister wanted to get an original birth certificate. So she thought, well, I got to give my what my real birth name was. And so she sent it in and they sent a response saying, we don't have any record of Lisa Riley. But we do have a record of Lisa Nanke, which was her adopted name. No record of the past. You and I have been fully adopted as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Please listen carefully to the narratives that you hear regarding the people of Israel. It has everything to do with your confidence in what you'll believe and the spirit of the world trying to bring lies into your heart and your mind if you'll listen to them. You know, the lies of the world is Israel is historically Muslim. That's not true. That's a lie. Israel's the cause of the failed Palestinian nation in the Middle East. That's completely a lie. We went through that a little bit yesterday, or last week, sorry. I mentioned that Israel is still the people of God by covenant, Genesis 15:5, and he took him, Abraham, outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And that's talking about the country of Israel, the people of Israel that have their own nation again. And that's talking about you and I today, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hallelujah. This Bible, just a reminder, the King James Version, Jerusalem is written 767 times. The first mention of Jerusalem is in Joshua 10:3. The last mention of it is in Revelation 21:10 when it says the new Jerusalem shall come out of the heavens. Amen? You'll never get rid of the name of Jerusalem for eternity, for that great city that we are looking, that you and I shall live in, shall be called the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. This gospel, we believe, came through Jerusalem. Did you know that? It came through Jerusalem and Israel. You know Romans 16 and 17? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Amen. Do you have that one, Bill? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek." This gospel came, the first message ever preached, Acts chapter 2, was by Peter to the Jewish people. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith." Amen. Are you living by faith today? Have you seen the power of faith, how it's changed your life and guided your life? And along the way, there's been stepstones and different things where God has revealed his wonderful mercy and power and grace to you. It's like Jacob. Remember when he was sleeping, he had that vision of the angels going up and down a ladder, and he made a marker there. Is there markers? I'm telling you, when you trust Jesus Christ by faith, there is markers in your life where you can see God's power and faithfulness coming forth in your life. Amen? I have markers in my life like Father Jacob. How about you? All by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. This gospel, number one, the number one point, this gospel, we believe, came through Israel. Number two, we are seeing the signs of the times, what we see in Israel. I wanted to mention that in Ezekiel 35, it just talks about in the end times again of God being aware of those that are coming against Israel. Now, understand this. I was listening to something that was really powerful. This gal who had lived in Iran, I don't know if she had dual citizenship. I don't even know if you have dual. There's a such thing as dual citizenship in Iran, but she was talking about, you have this regime that's totally anti-Israel, but a large group of Iranians who love the people of Israel. So as we talk about different nations and God judging leaderships of nations, he loves people, bringing people to Christ. The people in Iran that are rooting, you don't hear it. You're not going to hear it on the networks who are rooting for Israel, because they're also being oppressed. There's no great joy and strength and peace in the mosque there. It's death. There's no life there. They're rooting for Israel. So we're seeing the signs. You know, Jesus loves people, but he will judge nations in these last days. Just go back and once again read Ezekiel 38 and 39, this coalition of nations that will come against Israel and shall be snuffed out. And then we go, so it's starting in Matthew where Jesus is asking his disciples, who do you say I am? You know, just like the Muslims would today, saying he's a prophet. So they answered him. They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist come from back from the dead. Some are saying that you're a great prophet. But Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's always a coalition of countries that have always tolerated Israel, but now we are entering a season where they will no longer talk like they tolerate Israel. You can see that. Do you see the signs of the times? But it will fail because God himself, like I said, will judge the governmental leadership of these nations. It'll come someday. I don't know when, but it will come as surely as you and I are sitting and standing here. You know, in the West, there's this growing anti-Semitic spirit lying to the youth of America. Did you know that? And yet, this is how it starts. This is how it has been integrated. This is what I believe. We've heard it through BLM, who've come up and said we're standing with Palestine. Understand, we love the Palestinian people. We want God's hand to work in the Palestinian people. He is working in the Palestinian people. But we're talking about the government leadership of Hamas who are wanting to destroy Israel. You know, this growing hatred of Christ in America has grown out of this. LGBTQIA, BLM, climate change, worshiping of earth instead of worshiping the creator of heaven and earth. See, these are all anti-Christ things. Do you realize that? Of course I want to be a person that takes care of the planet, amen, in different things. I get that. But this is an anti-Christ agenda to lift up man as God and bring Christ down. Ain't going to happen, though, is it? So it'd be easy to get caught up in arguing with the spirit of Antichrist. Be careful. We can obviously stand for the truth, but we can get caught up in just arguing with the spirit of Antichrist and have no fruit and no benefit in yours and my life. So now I want to get to a few things in the scriptures. Jesus talks about the times. Matthew 16:1-4. Matthew 16:1-4. Now when the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And he said, when evening comes, you say, this is Jesus, you say, it will be fair weather because the sky is red. And in the morning, verse 3, it will be stormy today because the sky is red and darkening. You know how to judge correctly the appearance of the sky, but you cannot evaluate or determine the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Then he left them and went away. Now let me understand, when we say sign, Jesus did many signs and wonders. He does all these signs and wonders. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He heals all these sick people. Amen. He breaks the power of the enemy off them. He loves people. Amen. But in the end, they killed Jesus. You know, all the apostles, most of the apostles, they did great signs and wonders and miracles. Now listen to me, but most of them were killed or martyred for their faith. Most of the apostles, except for John. Jesus did many signs and wonders. But that's not what he's talking about here. Because he did all those things. You can't evaluate the signs and the times. You don't see that I am the Messiah that came. You don't know the signs and the times. You're blind to them. So it's not just about miracles. See, I want to say this, and I think in this generation, God does great miracles. He can still and does raise people from the dead. But there's a certain part of our society here already. They could see those miracles, and they would just say they're not real. They would say they're just false. They wouldn't believe it if they saw it. That's the sign of Jonah. That's the sign of Jonah. See, the sign of Jonah, we looked at Jesus. You look at this where Jesus said, no sign shall be given to this wicked and perverse generation except that of the sign of Jonah. And we think that's a bad thing or that's not a good thing. But let's read a little bit about the sign of Jonah. Can we read a little bit more of the word? Amen. So two, we are seeing the signs of the times. Number three, Jesus talks about the times, Matthew 16, 1 and 4. Number four, the call to repentance. That's the sign of Jonah. Look how this happens. This is amazing. We'll talk about it a little bit, but hear how this goes. So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Jonah chapter 3, 3 through 10. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city and 3 days' walk. So that's a pretty big city, isn't it? Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown, will be destroyed. So that's his message. There's his message of repentance right there. There's the message. It just flat out, you know, reminds you that he doesn't want to be here. So he's not somebody who's even in great joy to be there. I don't even know how sincere. I know it was this sincere. He'd love saying 40 more days and you will be destroyed. I guarantee he'd love saying that part. Because Nineveh was an enemy of Israel. So he loved saying, Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. Did you hear this? In a wicked city, nobody doing signs and wonders and miracles. He simply says, in 40 days, it's over. It's done. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 6, when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, removed his robe from himself, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the dust. And he issued a proclamation and said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, no person, animal, herd, or flock is to taste anything. They're not to eat or drink water. Verse 8, but every person and animal must be covered with sackcloth, and people are to call on God vehemently, and they are to turn each one from his evil way and from the violence which is in their hands. Who knows? Verse 9, God may turn and relent and turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their evil way, then God relented of the disaster which he had declared he would bring on them, so he did not do it. Can you imagine a whole city? You know, when people see the signs of the time, I often wonder, say, you know, there's a backstory there that you and I don't know. What brought Nineveh to the point in their society where a guy who'd been just puked out of the belly of a whale there for 3 days, who doesn't want to be there, who's preaching that hellfire and brimstone and can't wait for it to happen. If you read the rest of the book of Jonah, right? But something had gone on in society. There had been a shaking. Something had happened that when this guy began to preach repentance, that the whole city repented and were delivered from a certain destruction. Amen. See, there was something where they saw the signs of the time. There was something that they saw there, saints, that they said, I'm going to repent. I'm going to believe in this God that was not even their God. They're not Israelites. They're not of the Jewish faith. But there was something that God said, I love Nineveh. There was a shaking. God could see the hearts of the people. He sends the prophet who preaches the message. And what happens to his undelight? They repent and are changed. No signs, no wonders, nothing but a message of repentance. See, there's something there that you and I need to see. There was a signs of the time, something going on that they were seeing that began to turn the hearts of the people to him. And that's exactly what we're seeing in today's world as things are being shaken, as this nation is being shaken. We get off and look at this and look at all these things. But I'm telling you, it's because of the signs of the time. And God is trying to turn the heart of the wicked towards him by the signs of the times. And what are you and I focused on when we see this shaking? Of course I know the IRS is wicked. Of course I know all these FBI and the CIA are wicked. That's no news. But I'm not going to focus on them. Hey, I've had the IRS. Anybody ever had I've been audited twice. Not once, I got the pleasure twice. And I was thinking, why are you picking on me? See, when people see the signs of the time, they become frightened and look for answers. Jesus said, these are the beginning of birthing pains. The signs of the times. See, Jesus, I don't know if the signs of the time were in Nineveh, but it changed the city heart towards him. Lord, I pray that the signs of the times that we see now will turn people's hearts towards him as they see everything crumbling and only Jesus is the solid rock. All else is shifting sand. Are you putting your feet on solid rock? Amen. Are you putting your feet upon the solid rock? His name is Jesus. So let me just say this, number three, that's a call to repentance. As we see the signs of things going on in the nation around the world, when we see these things going on in Israel, these are the signs of the times as we pray for Israel. See, there's going to come a time when everything, this is the thing about coming to Christ and his grace, when everything else has been exhausted. There's going to come a time where everything for Israel is going to be exhausted. They have nowhere else to turn. And they're going to turn to Jesus Christ. And his Spirit's going to come in like a flood. It's been told, man, from ancient times in the Bible. Something about when you come to the end of yourself, there's coming a time where Israel comes to the end of themselves. And the Spirit comes in like a flood. Things in your and my life, we have to come to the end of ourselves. Our own doings, our own efforts. And that's when his grace and mercy come flooding in and puts those areas of our lives back together. Isn't that good news? Do not be surprised by the shaking. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. I got a few more minutes, don't I? Are you still there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do not be surprised, number five, by the shaking. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, amen, there's only one kingdom that cannot be shaken. Did you know that? And that's the kingdom of God that is coming for you and I. Amen? That's part of that new Jerusalem. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom from which cannot be shaken, it says, let us have what? Let us have grace. Did you hear that? I was listening to somebody teaching a message on the fear of God, which is good, but they read this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. They preached about the reverence of God. They preached about the fear of God. They preached about the consuming fire, but they didn't mention even one thing about grace. Not even one thing. And it's all predicated upon grace. How do I know? It says it right here. Without which no one will see, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. You can only serve God acceptably through his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're going to stand and understand the reverence of God, the consuming fire of God inside my soul, it will all come through the doorway of grace. Moses brought the law. Jesus brought grace and truth. Amen. Standing by grace, his unmerited favor, his continued love and support in you as you, things in your life, let me just say it, I know I keep saying it, but we've been on this theme, and the things that you struggle with, the grace of God gives you confidence that God's going to see you through it. He's going to see you through every struggle. And when you understand that he sees you through every struggle, man, this fear and awe of God consumes your heart. Wow. Lord, you're still here. Even in the struggles, you haven't left me. You're still encouraging me. You're still wooing me. You're still revealing who you are. Saints, if we have the fear of God, if we have an awe of God, but we don't know anything about his grace, then you don't really know the fear of God. You don't really know the mercy of God. And you certainly don't know about the all-consuming fire of God, which is his Holy Spirit. Remember, when Moses gave the law, 3,000 were killed. Right? Remember Moses said, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the new covenant? Do not be surprised by the shaking. Do not be surprised by the shaking. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably. Amen. Have you come into the new covenant by grace? Can I ask, have you come into that new covenant? Hebrews 12, 14 through 16. Once again, hear this. Pursue peace with all people. Amen. I love having peace with my neighbors. I try to have peace with my neighbors. Me and Gina, moved. I tell people we've been married 36 years. We've moved 23 times. We must have a gift to move. A gypsy. I tell people we're local gypsies. I know what it's like to have good neighbors and not so good neighbors. Because when you've moved that many times, you're not going to bat 1,000 with your neighbors, believe me. But we've learned to try to live at peace with our neighbors. You know what I'm saying? Pursue peace with all people and holiness which no one will see the Lord. How are we going to attain this holiness? Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Did you hear that? You're not going to have holiness on your own and your own efforts. Amen? Because he says, unless you fall short of the grace of God, how? Lest any root of bitterness springs up causing trouble. And by this many become defiled, those around you. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. It was all about the things of the world, right? It was about what can I have now. Had nothing to do with looking at the signs of the time. It was about how can I feed my flesh now? How can I satisfy myself now? You know, it didn't matter. If people were against me, I'm against them. If people want to do things to me, I'll show them. I'll get them back. I'll show them what it's about. And we get our eyes off the grace of God that changed you and I. Man, anyone falls short. I know one thing about you. I won't fall short of the grace of God. How about you? Because I'm going to keep pursuing it. Keep asking the Lord to reveal it to me, to show me his goodness, to help me in my shortcomings. No, there's no chance. You know, I have begun to realize, as we get close, if you want to come to the front, Gina, I have begun to realize there are people who talk about grace. They know all the scriptures. They can mimic what they've heard someone else say or teach about grace, but they aren't interested in letting it change their lives. I don't want to be that person at all. I won't allow myself to just be a talking point, having all these scriptures about grace, but having no effect on my life. I come back to this. The grace of God changes our life. It can be oh so slowly. There's no time measurement for how God works and changes a life. Do you agree with that? Some of the most painful accusations and slanders and fault findings I have endured as a pastor has come from those who claim to be experts in grace. It can be just, it has an impact on my life. I had a business partner, and get this, he was a Baptist. But he knew the grace of God. See, he never really preached it to me in the years that we were partners, but boy, did he live it. Boy, did he show what the grace of God was. See, he didn't have to always be telling me this, this, and this. His life showed it. Amen. He's gone to be with the Lord, and looking back, it's had such an impact now. I think of different circumstances that come up in my life, and I always think, how would Randy handle this? How would Randy react to this? And sometimes it changes how I'm going to react. That's the power of grace. You see its effect on people's lives. It changes you. It changes you. It does not leave who you're at, but it changes you as you come into an understanding and a revelation. Amen. You know, many people here maybe this morning have experienced great pain. Maybe through religious leaders, maybe through family leaders, close friends. It can be a husband or wife, or horrible past regrets. But it's His love and great mercy that heal a heart and transform your mind. In other words, don't allow yourself in any of your life to fall short of the grace of God. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about areas of our life that can fall short of the grace of God. I'm telling you, man, my biggest thing, I'm not going to fall short in any area of my life. That's me. That's where I come. And it's not a striving. It's a heart that says, reveal it to me, Lord. It's not a striving in myself. It's a reveal it to me, Lord. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. It says you write your laws upon our hearts. Psalms 40, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Hebrews, talk about His character, His life being on the inside of us when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, understanding the power of grace, understanding the new covenant as His Holy Spirit becomes to live in us. Amen. Last point, he says, He will bring signs and wonders. And this is what I want to say. Allow the shaking we see in society draw you closer to Him. Don't demand some sign from the Lord. Give your life to Him completely by faith, and you will see signs and wonders in your life you could never imagine. Don't demand things, but say, Lord, I give my life to You 100% by faith. Fill me with Your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you will see signs and wonders in your life that you could never imagine. See, we live in this, we'll go back to this. We live in a society that says, show me. Yes. Show me a sign. But there's other people that God will bring in your path and they'll say, I see what's going on there. I'm frightened. I'm scared. Something's not right. I'm on shifting sand. And then you begin to share the gospel with them. Yes. Say, yeah, you're seeing these things. Amen. Because these are the last days. That's right. Before He comes back. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Put your feet on the solid ground. And He'll do miraculous things in your life you could never imagine. Start by the just shall live by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. I love that again. It says for the gospel, right? Amen. Let me read that again. Can you stand up with me? Are you still awake out there?
Yes.
Romans 1:16-17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith. And when you put your trust in Him, man, God will do powerful, amazing things that you cannot imagine. But don't have an attitude of, show me first, Lord. Don't be like a wicked generation that says, you show me he's real. No, you look and determine and see the signs of the time.
That's right.
And you say, Lord, the things that I see, I know you're real. Father, help me.
That's right.
Help me, Lord. Lead me. Guide me. Show me your goodness. Show me your truths, Father God. Don't let any area of my life fall short of the grace of God. And so with that, Father, we say we love you. Do you love him? I'm going to raise my hand and say, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for your anointing, Father God. Father, thank you for us seeing the signs of the time clearly, Father God. Thank you for showing us your goodness. Father, thank you for showing us your grace. Thank you for the power, God, doing powerful works in our lives, Lord. Healing the sick, raising the dead, delivering people, Father God, from bondage and chains, Father God, as we put our trust in you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, showing us your ways, teaching us our paths. Lord, we can see clearly, seeing the signs of the times that your return is drawing nigh. So thank you, Father, for stirring the hearts of your people. Father, we bless you. We love you. If you need this prayer this morning, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, we'd love to introduce Jesus to you. If there's areas that you just need prayer, someone to agree with you in prayer in an area of your life, we would love to do that with you. Thank you, Father. Father, we bless you. You love him this morning. Amen. Are you out there? Hallelujah. Are you out there? So, Lord, we bless you, and we honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.